Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Oh, football will be happening soon in the Premier League. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Good afternoon, evening.
And me, Marcus Speller. Everybody, it's so close. You can taste the Premier League. Mm. And of course, it's the 25th anniversary of the Premier
football.
League.
What does it taste of then? Does it taste of a 25-year-old single malt? Is that what you're saying? You can taste it. What does it taste of?
It tastes of a really pricey penny.
Yeah, is that
it
right?
It tastes like one of those coins you get from the post office that's got R2-D2 on it.
Bit of what? Grass in
there.
There
we go.
Well.
Mm. That's the type of show it's going to be, Marcus. So good luck.
What coins?
Are the commemorative coins they have for like stupid things like Star Wars.
Not
or...
the post office.
Yeah, Marcus, you buy the post office.
Marcus, by the way,
Why do you buy your commemorative coins?
Even if you're on board with that, which I've seen those myself, he's tasting them.
Yeah. So, he knows what they taste like. And apparently they taste different to a normal coin.
Apparently the new Nintendo Switch video game cartridges have got like a chemical coating so the kids don't eat them. First thing I did, put one in my mouth. Bloody disgusting.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Wow. Bloody horrible.
Were they quite Moorish before?
Were you the reason they've done this? I used to have them like Doritos.
Horrible. Getting through packets of them every week.
It's expensive. They're like 40 quid a go.
I know.
Yeah.
They're like the new Faberge egg.
How many Doritos can
crack
you have
one
for
of them
that?
Open?
So is that just a sort of standard practice of anything you own? You put it in your mouth? Or did you know it had a weird taste and then do it anyway?
Just put it in your mouth. Put everything you own in your mouth is what
the,
is my...
At the same time. But it is the 25th anniversary of the Premier League. And an Englishman still not won it. Could this be the year?
I think it's very likely.
Yeah.
Very, very likely indeed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, one good thing is that Friday
Chris
night...
Houston, are you listening to me?
Well, he's Irish.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. That's terrible.
One less.
Yeah. The worst thing was I was going to say Mark Hughes.
There you are, you see. Friday night football is very much back. Of course, Arsenal kick things off with Leicester, which is an intriguing one. Weird. But we're not going to start with that. In fact, we're going to go to Manchester United because they lost the big one, the Super Cup final. And you obviously have to win the Champions League to get in that.
And it is a major trophy. You don't need to win the Champions League to get in it. Europa League winners get into it as well. That's what it is.
Yeah. I know. Well, true enough.
You have to win a European trophy.
And it was played in Macedonia. And Real Madrid won 2-1. And Jose Mourinho, I think, said something like, between the 20th and 40th minute, Real Madrid played the perfect game.
I agree with that. I think they were absolutely irresistible. That central midfield is incredibly good.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I was saying earlier to a couple of you guys before we come on air, I mean, you can make a decent argument and say Modric is now, you know, probably has been for a bit of time, the best midfield player in the world. Man United, it looked like men against boys. And if you go back, say, we're talking about the 25th anniversary of the Premier League's inception, you go back 15, 20 years, I mean, you wouldn't be able to say that. I mean, United are obviously very at the very top of the tree as well.
Mm. But they rallied.
They did rally. To be fair to them, they did rally. I thought
Fellaini and Lukaku together. I'm enjoying that.
Bludgeoning. Just bludgeoning all over the place.
That's a B team, isn't it?
That's a Viking invasion of a team. Isn't it?
It's good to see Fellaini.
Setting fire to the subs bench.
Yeah. Just get him on there. It was a wrecking ball.
He caused problems.
Even against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You sort of see...
Pillage that goal.
But you do think to yourself, like, okay, so... He's bowling Fellaini onto the pitch. Mm. And actually, against the mighty Real Madrid, back-to-back European Champions League winners, there were still a few problems. Yeah. And it is that glorious thing in football, no matter how good you are, no matter how wonderful your the ball retention of that midfield at Real Madrid and the technical ability and so on and so forth.
A tenacious giant can, you know, get something out of the
game. Big, bumbling bloke still has a place in football.
Yeah, anyone can batter into you, whoever you are.
It's like Real Madrid sort of knocking the ball around nicely, looking after it, playing really, but technically fantastic. Mm. Always looking over their shoulder, though.
Yeah.
Mourinho said, you might want to have all the ball, you might want to knock it around us, but I'm going to make sure you're worried.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be getting rid of that quickly.
It's like Mourinho's done the old Vietnam War general and said, listen, we're going to have to set fire to this pitch to save this game. We're going to set fire to the whole thing.
You may have more of the ball, but you'll have more of the fear.
Would Man United fans, because I watched the game, I'm sure you guys did too, would Man United fans be a little bit concerned by the Paul Pogba performance? Which is quite difficult to say, actually.
Mourinho said no, he was fine and sort of defended him, which is an interesting move.
Pogba's more of a reputation than a player
that's right.
Does it matter if he ever plays well again?
He's an emoji man.
We've
got the movie, now we've got the footballer. It's fine.
He's sort of doing it the wrong way around. Normally a footballer, when they retire, you kind of think to yourself, no, but Jamie Redknapp was actually quite a cultured player back in the day. You know, Gary Lineker was a great goal scorer, whereas Paul Pogba, you're thinking, no, but he might be a great chat show host in the future.
We said last week that it's going to be a very big season for Paul Pogba, but on that performance, it was rather disappointing. It was rather
very
kind
much.
Of.
But it was only the Super Cup.
Yeah, the only caveat you can make that is, you're right, it's a Super Cup.
The not so Super Cup.
And he was playing against head and shoulders the best midfield in the world football. He's not going to be playing against that quality every week in the Premier League. I'll tell you that now. Well, listen, we're going to talk about Stoke later. Trust me. He's not going to be worried about that.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, Mourinho, the chat coming from his gob was as interesting as ever, because he's laying the foundations again for a decent season, but perhaps not a title-winning season. He was saying how, you know, Manchester United are a top-three side, and money-wise, you know, I think they are top of the tree, aren't they, in sort of marketing and so on and so forth. But he's saying, you know, well, in the next couple of seasons, we'll get back to that top level. And I think he's also trying to make sure he stays in a job for a bit longer as well. With that kind of job.
I just reiterate what I said on the show earlier in the week. He will say anything. I mean, he will say anything. Mm. We were talking about before the show, and in the post-match interview, he appeared to sort of contradict himself a little bit with one or two different bits and pieces. As he was saying, it's a big season for not just for Paul Pogba but for Man United as well. Of course, I mean, we talked about this in the past, but six or seven teams this season doesn't go into four. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some. I mean, there was a high profile casualty with Chelsea a couple seasons ago. Could see one of them again this season. I'm not suggesting it'll be Man United, but you never know.
But Jim, with Mourinho, he's made three big signings: Lindelof, Matic, and Lukaku. We know about the latter two very well in the Premier League, of course. Mourinho does love to sign the finished article.
Oh, absolutely.
He's not one for the youth policy, shall we say.
What is interesting is the sort of, I suppose you'd call it the Chelsea-fication of Man United, isn't it? Mm. You've got Juan Mata already there, obviously Mourinho there, bringing Matic in. Lukaku had his history there, and he, you know, Lukaku was signed to basically replace Drogba, and we know that, you know, back in the day when he signed for Chelsea, and we know that you know, he absolutely loves those sort of big battering ram forwards, so he is just trying to mould this United team back into the kind of prototype he had at Chelsea. And you're right, yeah, he doesn't, I mean, you made the point earlier off air very well that he was so frustrated with Luke Shaw because he just basically couldn't immediately fulfil all of his potential. Mm. And yeah, you're right.
Do you think Man United fans will be happy of the Chelseaification of their club?
Well, it's a
and will Peter
game.
Kenyon come back?
I think that's a bold statement from Jim. That's a big, big terminology. putting it right amongst it early on. The signing of Lindelof's an interesting one, because I do agree with you. He does like to sign the finished article as a player. He must really rate Lindelof because he's only 23. He looks a good player. I mean, I think he did okay in the Super Cup, considering he seems to have everything about him. I think he'll probably play with Eric Bailly when he's fit, and I guess because I think he's an improvement on Jones and Smalling personally, but we'll see how well he adjusts, you know. But it was a big baptism of fire for the season for United against Real Madrid, and you just know that Mourinho was a little bit annoyed at the back of his mind, because I used to manage Real Madrid and they're really good and they're
Look, Real Madrid, they were the better side, don't get me wrong, they're the best side in Europe, there's no doubt about that, you know, the trophy would suggest. But Manchester United, you know, they got a goal back. Marcus Rashford had that chance. Mm-hmm. You know, it was actually
Lukaku
nice
missed
to
an
see.
Easy chance as well, by the way.
Well, yeah, Pogba put one over the bar.
Yeah, that's right. But Lukaku had a rebound which he missed before he scored his goal, which will be massive for him, of course, because he's had that millstone round his neck of not scoring, in quotes, against big and better clubs. That's going to be big for his confidence getting that goal. But you're right, they did have chances.
I thought that was a good point, because Lukaku actually put himself about, and right you say, for Everton, he was always always accused of against bigger sides, you know, even in Merseyside derbies and all that kind of stuff. He went missing a little bit. He threw his weight around a bit. He got a goal. It wasn't a blisteringly good performance, but for crying out loud, he's playing the best side, didn't
he? But you do sort of think that the difference between Real Madrid, who won't necessarily stifle play in their own defence effectively, people who are rocking up at Old Trafford, though, they're going to just line up with five at the back, four at the back, and they're just going to try and stifle play. And I think he's going to find it a lot harder. He's not going to be able to run into space. He's not going to be able to bully players and run at them either. So it's going to be difficult for him.
They struggled last season, United, breaking teams down at home. And that, I think that's part of the thinking behind signing Lukaku as well. Sorry, Jim, go on.
Well, we've seen before that Lukaku can be marked out of a game. So that could be an awkward fit there.
If he can get one against Real Madrid, mate, he can get one against
anyone.
Yeah.
just before you do, the only thing that I thought was spectacularly strange in the game, going back to Real Madrid, was it was in injury time, it was a free header, it was Sergio Ramos from a corner, and he went wide.
Need to score.
And therefore ripped the football space-time continuum. So now all bets are off now. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Exactly.
He'll never score again.
Man United are 7-2 second favourites with Bet365 to win the Premier League this season. So £10 on that will return £45 including stake. I think that's a fascinating thing that they've been instilled as second favourites. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered by Man United. So yeah, 7-2 with Bet365.
A lot of people fancy them, and that dynamic between Lukaku and Pogba could work on the pitch. We saw it off the pitch as they rented a mansion in Beverly Hills over the summer.
Well, getting battered in a mansion at Beverly Hills and throwing a reporter into a swimming pool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it was a push, not a throw.
Okay.
Still. Out of order.
All right, Scaramucci. Oh, the mooch in town.
I'm a front pusher.
Yeah, moocher speller.
It was a yellow, not a red, is all I'm saying. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was a little bit out of order,
It may have been staged. It's hard to tell,
it was hard to tell.
Let's hope so.
If it wasn't staged, it's shocking.
It's just bullying.
Let's just say, if they're having a massive party in a mansion in Beverly Hills and pushing women into swimming pools, and that turns out to be a metaphor for their season, four men in this room are going to have a lovely time.
Well, if you're going to push anyone into a swimming pool with a microphone on them, you're risking electrocution, aren't
you? Push a woman,
not yourself. I'm just saying, don't do
it. Push a woman, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, don't do it.
Oh, because they're not as strong.
What are you saying? Take the microphone off her and then shove her.
Safety first, people.
Yeah. Always looking at the short term, aren't you?
Do you remember when Cristiano Ronaldo threw that microphone in the river?
Yeah.
In the World Cup.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the fish didn't get electrocuted, did they?
No, well, you don't know, do you?
Well, have you viewed every fish in that lake? No.
Have you seen the film Crocodile Dundee?
Many times.
Yeah. It's not electrocution, but it's the same result.
I reckon the alkali battery did something to their DNA, and now it's a monster fish. Thanks to Cristiano Ronaldo.
There we are, you see. It's all fun and games in the ponds.
Until some fish mutate.
It's all fun and games in the pond, Pete.
Okay.
All right? That's what Lukaku said when they pushed her in.
But this man was a small fish in a big pond. Is he a big fish in a smaller pond now? Javier Hernandez at West Ham. He's going to be back at Old Trafford. His old house, he called it.
Yeah, he's not going to celebrate, apparently.
Is he not?
Well, because they're going to lose.
Because he wants to score a goal.
Don't worry, I'm not going to celebrate. That's big of you.
We didn't think you were going to be celebrating.
Joking aside, I think he's got potential to be an excellent signing for them. Yep. We said it earlier in the week.
Jim signing of the summer.
I don't think I quite said that, but I'm certainly
putting it upon you.
All right. Well, I'll take it.
Yeah. We tweeted it on your behalf.
Okay. All right. I'll have to stand by
that
one.
You're wedded to it now.
Damn.
But I know that we've talked about transfer fees and them not really being that meaningful anymore. But 16 million was an eyebrow raising figure, wasn't it, for a player of his history and his experience? A few people have said to me they think he's going to flop. I think for that money and that team, I think he'll be a big player.
He's scored goals wherever he's gone. To varying degrees. I can't understand why anyone's even thinking twice about signing that player at that amount of money.
I agree. Only 29 as well.
They've done some decent business there, because getting Joe Hart in is big. And, you know, that's a position... Sorry, up front is a position they've really struggled to fill, haven't they? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
They've signed an amazing amount of strikers since 2010, isn't it?
33 strikers.
Is it Andy Carroll's time?
Maybe.
He's injured
for the first game of the season, so don't worry about it.
Oh, stunning news.
I'll tell you what, if he was on the Man United bench, Real Madrid wouldn't have known what to do.
No, I agree with that.
And then they've got an extra time.
Yeah, I think they probably would have brushed it off, though.
But then it's all ifs and buts, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, hindsight's a wonderful thing when you're talking about transfers. Let's move on. Oh, yeah, talking of hindsight, Newcastle United.
They're back, baby. We're back.
Yeah.
They warmed up nicely for their return to the league with a win against Hellas Verona.
Yes. It was Hellas Boring.
Hellas of...
Was it? Did you watch it, Pete?
I did watch it, yeah.
What was the score?
the NUFC, the official NUFC website did a stream, and they were just testing out their streaming software. Crashed, didn't work most of the time. It was fantastic.
But yeah, actually, no, needs to put 50p in the meter.
It's actually very underwhelming.
Which he won't.
The thing about the Newcastle thing, I'm sure Pete can wax more lyrically than me about this, is that so they've been promoted to the Premier League. We all know the money making sort of enterprise that the Premier League can be for a club, and you know, you think to an extent therefore an owner of a man who we're talking about who is already a billionaire. Okay, I'm not suggesting he needs to just, you know, do his family out of new shoes, but what I am suggesting
or pay
is
his staff properly.
Although there is discounts at Sports Direct.
Exactly. He probably gets a discount further than that. He probably gets staff as well. But, I mean, let me put this another way. I sympathise with Rafa Benitez's position. It's probably the more diplomatic way of putting
it. You weren't saying that when Kevin Keegan quit.
No.
Saying it wasn't like what it was in the brochure.
I regularly sympathise with all of Kevin Keegan's positions.
But we can't empathise with it.
No.
There is a distinction.
So is there a storm brewing? Is there a storm afoot? Is it dark over Bill's
mom's
house?
I ended the season by saying I'd be very surprised if Rafa Benitez starts in the dugout for Newcastle United in the Premier League. I was lambasted by a lot of Newcastle fans on Twitter and stuff, but I think he'll start, but I don't think he'll end the season because he likes to spend a lot of money. He bought 6 left backs at Liverpool. I always bring that up.
Not at the same time.
Rafa Benitez, no, well, pretty much, to be honest. He could not decide on his best left back, but and Mike Ashley doesn't like spending any money.
Well,
we should say very little money at all in the last 3 seasons.
At the time of recording, Rafa Benitez is still Newcastle United manager.
Should point out that is still a climb down. By the way,
that is a sentence you're going to hear a lot.
We have a sweepstake of how many times Marcus says that this season. At the time of recording,
Rafa Benitez is still in a job.
He's generally in the Newcastle area.
It's a very thin squad for the Premier League. It was a thin squad for the Championship, even. It was a moneyed squad for the Championship, but they'd sold 2 fairly big players.
Bring people up to speed who Newcastle signed so far. They've got Christian Atsu, who was there on loan anyway.
Mm-hmm. And he was a good signing. I thought, good. I'm glad we've got him permanently. Hopefully, Ronaldo Aarons can keep fit, and that they're 2 good wingers for Newcastle. But you need end product, bruv.
Javier Manquillo, who's the defender they signed from, is it from Atletico via Sunderland?
Yes. He was very underwhelming for Sunderland. Sunderland fans were like, why did they pick
him up? Benitez said about him and about Florent Lejeune, who I think it's pronounced. He said that they're both really good young defenders with great potential and stuff. And I was thinking, I don't want to sort of be reductive about it or be a bit old fashioned, but that they need like proper solid bodies in there.
Well, they need people with like Premier League experience, which by and large we don't really have in droves.
Well, it seems to be as well, you know, that comes at a premium, doesn't it? I mean, they're talking about trying to sign Lucas Perez from Arsenal. Yeah. It's the fees about it. Is it what, 11, 12 million? Which seems a steal for him because obviously, you know, he's not played a lot, but he looks like an efficient striker.
He's a top four footballer.
I think he'd probably do well there.
Go after Wilfred Bonny.
I don't think he's proven to be a top four.
Sorry, he plays for a top four club.
Yeah,
which
exactly,
is, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
But from what I've
Arsenal,
seen of him,
not top four club anymore.
No.
from what I've seen of him, though, I think he'd do a job there.
I agree, Jim, and I think it's weird. Are you going to say that it's weird that Ashley's sort of bulking?
Well, in this market,
they played hardball. Benitez was interviewed by a radio station, and basically he said that he talked to Arsene Wenger. He said, "Let's talk about this player." And Arsene Wenger literally said, "Let's talk money first." You know, he literally said that.
Can I put a target out there that I think would perhaps lend himself to Newcastle fans? And you're saying, Marcus, rightly, they need Premier League experience. Joey Barton.
The strange thing is that went through my mind. I thought, "No, I'm not going to say that."
Well, that's the difference between you and me.
No, but I appreciate you.
He can anchor the midfield and get old John up. You know, attacking.
See,
so
you got John Joe Shelby. Yeah. What do you need?
Him and Shelby in the midfield together. He can attack people with an actual anchor.
There's one player called, is it Mikel Merino that you've signed? Because I read an interesting thing about him. It was I think it was a sort of Newcastle focused blog, and the description of Mikel Merino was he was very highly rated 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, he's on loan from Dortmund, but it's just nice that we got Murphy in from Norwich. Nice to just have an actual Newcastle fan playing for Newcastle United. It's been 20 years, I think, at least.
Really? Wasn't it Freddie Shepherd who wanted a team of Geordies?
Team of Geordies, yeah. Good luck with that.
Which would have been great. You'd have been in the Athletic Bilbao.
Maybe improve your academy, mate. Maybe put some money into that.
Wanted to do the Lisbon Lions, but from Newcastle.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The
Gallagate Gerbils or something.
It's already very depressing, and I think Newcastle are going to find it very hard.
Newcastle have made an approach to loan Chelsea's Brazilian youngster, Kennedy. This is the guy who was sent home from Chelsea's Far East tour by posting a naughty message, which sort of roughly translates to like sod China or screw China. In other words, he was kind of like, what is this country about? Kind of thing. That was the gist. He did apologise, though, Peter, because I know you don't
to
like
to his accountant, because he'll never get a move out there.
I know you don't like that sort of thing.
His agent was like, what are you doing?
That's where all the money lives.
This is We're on one country, you shouldn't be insulting.
Well, he did say, he posted this saying, "Hello, my friends." I love that. We're not your friend. Just wanted to say sorry if someone was sad because I used the expression "pora." There was no racism, just an expression. Big hug.
I love that classic kind of like, "I'm sorry if you were offended."
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of.
But listen, are you happy now he's going to Newcastle? Possibly, because he's clean. He's swiped the slate clean.
He started a message with "Hello, my friends," and ended with a big hug. What would you
yeah, exactly?
What's your problem?
We got Jonji in midfield for crying out loud. He's had his own problems with saying things that he said he didn't mean.
Yeah, Joey Barton. You've got a full house.
You do quite well with the old immorality policy, don't you?
Yeah. Opened our policy. Second chance saloon.
I did think, Peter, that there's an elder statesman of the game who's a free agent now, who I've mistakenly put down as Shat Given in the running order. It's obviously Shea Given.
Well, he's getting on now. Yeah. He will do that.
No Shats were given, perhaps. But he said he's looking for one last job in the Premier League.
Well, he's unlucky to get a few many clean sheets with that name, is he?
Hey, having that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been busy keeping. He's been keeping himself busy throughout the summer.
Keeping on.
With Macclesfield, because his old pal Steve Watson is the assistant manager.
I didn't even know that. I'm a big fan of Stevie Watson.
Yeah, working his way up.
Utility player.
If Rafa goes, what do you think? Is that enough experience
Steve
for the job?
Steve Watson played every position on the pitch back in the day, apart from goalkeeper, I think.
It
might be centre back he didn't play. One of the positions he didn't play.
I think he had a little stint in goal.
I think he did have a stint in goal. Yeah.
Can I fast
funny.
Forward you guys just because I want to get Pete's opinion on it? The quote of the summer.
Here we go.
From the aforementioned Mike Ashley, who we talked about. This will tell you exactly what he is, in fact, spending his money on. He said, I'll just read the quote. Unfettered quote.
Right.
"My thing is not to drink regularly, it is binge drinking. I am trying to get drunk."
Didn't he also describe himself as a power drinker?
Yeah. Like amazing. A power lifter.
You forget the context. It was in a court of law.
Yeah, and it was referencing a business meeting which he had to excuse himself from the table in a pub and vomit in a fireplace.
Didn't he go to the loo?
Well, this is the stuff he's happy to talk about.
What's he covering up
in front of the law?
What's he covering up?
To be honest, Monday through, like Sunday through Thursday, I don't drink at all, but Friday, Saturday, I'm very much in the Ashley camp.
You're a power drinker.
I'm a power drinker.
Yeah.
Me and him, we love you that.
Talk it
out.
Thrash out some business deals.
Yeah, thrash
out. One of you later forgets agreeing to.
Vomit in a fireplace.
I've bought a human sized fidget spinner to play in defence. Shit.
Well, you know, you're the voice of Sports Direct Radio.
Hello, minions. Keep working. If indeed you are working today, 0 hours.
Oh, it is binge drinking. I'm trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. In his 40s.
He's succeeding.
In his 40s or his 50s. Something like that.
It won't matter if he carries on like that.
No.
My goodness.
Heavy drinkers past 50 tend to lose weight. So I think he's very much in that kind of lovely purple patch.
Well, I look forward to
that. In the mid 40s.
I look forward to that myself.
Where you're just big all over.
Oh, superb. Before we move on from Newcastle United, Mitrovic. Oh, Mitro's been sounding very positive, which is great.
And the club clearly want to sell him, but he's like, "I'm loving Newcastle." Woo!
Well, he has got a bit of Premier League experience, of course, in his first top flight stint. He reminded us, saying, "I scored 9 goals in my first season in the Premier League in one of the worst teams." That is not bad. That is not bad.
Yeah, you're going to be another worst team in the Premier League.
You are right. He's absolutely loving it. And the type of character he is, he knows the club want to move him on, right? But he's not interested. He wants to stay. I can imagine him being ferried to another club to sign a new contract, walking in there going, just tearing the contract up, walking out again.
Pre-season, he kicked, I can't remember which team it was, a German team, kicked the keeper up the arse.
No,
like, I mean, that's like 80s football.
He's still at 22 as well, isn't he?
Yeah. I still think there's a player inside, but he has shown, I'm climbed that from down from that particular
the
14th ladder.
But... New Alan Shearer.
Well, he lives on the same street as Alan Shearer, apparently.
Oh, almost the same, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all on there.
Yeah. Do you remember when they won the league, the celebrations at the end, he was just lobbing champagne bottles around sort of indiscriminately.
Yeah. That's not how it works.
When they won the championship, they've never won the top flight.
That's obviously what I meant.
Yeah, I know.
It's still a league, isn't it?
Yeah. I wanted to dig at Pete.
All right.
Fulham nowadays.
Just so you know, in that year that they came very close to winning it, Kevin Keegan would have been the only Englishman to win the Premier League.
So is that right?
Is it befitting perhaps that he's the man who's come the closest?
he'd have loved that.
Yeah, he'd had a lovely time, wouldn't he?
Oh dear. Well, Newcastle host Spurs, the only side in the league who haven't signed anyone yet thus far, despite Danny Rose's best efforts.
They haven't signed anyone yet. They are fuming, the fans, with Danny Rose, aren't they? It's fair to say.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger outpouring last night. Because it's one of those things on Twitter where I saw the search terms which trending.
Yeah.
Danny Rose was like right at the top. I was like, what can that be about?
What's he done?
Yeah. And then it came out. Very incredible timing, that interview, don't you think?
It's very pointed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's on a small amount of money compared to sort of, you know, equivalent players. Is it about 60 grand a week he gets? Which sounds ridiculous, but when you look at like Jesse Lingard being on 100 grand or whatever, it's like,
whatever the figures are, he feels like he's worth more.
Yeah.
And he probably could get more if he was to sign for another top side.
The way Spurs struck their wages is they incentivise players, don't they? So what's regularly reported is the basic wage, which may not be that accurate. But having said that, can Danny Rose get more money elsewhere? Yes, he can. So that does ring true. I just thought the timing of it was absolutely incredible. I mean, he gave an interview back in March, didn't he, with Five Live, where he talked a bit about, with a bit of admiration, I suppose you could judge it, for the Chelsea squad. And then the most amazing quote, I thought, was that he said, we need to sign two or three players, but instantly recognisable players, not players you have to Google. That's a craziness.
Isn't that just a sort of quite badly worded way of saying, you know, we're at a higher level now, we can afford to get in some sort of, you know, household names? I think it's just poorly phrased. That's surely what he means.
I think look at his history, see which players he's been searching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he might just not have a lot of football knowledge.
I was going to say,
remember he was in Bing,
like Asu Okoto.
We've all heard of him.
Do you know what the number one Bing search is?
Google.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Right. Well, coming up after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Manchester City and Everton.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I've never felt as bad ever.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody. Oh, have we got a bit of news for you? You can come and see us in the flesh live. It's the London Podcast Festival, Friday the 15th of September. Tickets are available at thefootballramble.com/news, 7 p.m. at King's Place in King's Cross. It's going to be a lol fest.
Get involved. Still tickets available. We'd love to see you. Footballramble.com/news.
Wonderful stuff. It's now time for correspondence with Pete.
Oh, it is time for correspondence.
Oh, you've got the running order the same as the rest of us.
Well, I wasn't reading it. No. I was getting excited about the idea of seeing me in the flesh.
Yeah.
And I got a flesh back. Hello to...
You have got a fleshy back.
I've got fat back. Hello to Chris, who ends the email, I must say, by saying best of regards, which is quite nice. I was planning on sending the story for a different podcast, but I never got round to it, so...
Why are you telling us this?
that's what he said.
I know,
good point. After Pete mentioned the popular toy, the fidget spinner, on the new Ramble episode, I figure I owe it to him to send this email in before it's too late. From my home nation of Canada, Chris has sent in a story about a man who managed to, a Calgary man, managed to slice off his own penis because he attached a razor blade to a fidget spinner.
Oh my God.
Now we knew how this was going to end. Actually, we didn't. Why did he have his penis out?
Worst case scenario.
Pete, I don't want to be out of order here, but if any of the people I know were going to do that, it would be you.
Well, if I was, I know what brand of razor blade I'd use. Hello to Jason Ives. Hello, sir. There you go. Having a go at me.
Yeah.
Here's your penance. Dear Mr. Moore.
Do you make penance? Here's your penance.
He's written, he's written in the subject line, a short message for Mr. Luke Moore. It's not that short. Yeah, okay. He got on a roll and kept going, to be honest.
They never are.
Dear Mr. Moore. I listened with interest to your return in the first episode of the Football Ramble for the season. You and your colleagues were every bit as humorous and as informative as I recall.
Thanks.
Doesn't sound like a dig.
However, I must take you to task on your patronising characterisation of Aston Villa fans such as myself. When talking about the first appearance of John Terry in the claret and blue of Villa, you remarked, Aston Villa fans need to understand that because the Championship is a low standard of football, it doesn't mean that people can't run as fast. Thank you for your kind advice, Luke, but I would respectfully put it to you that Aston Villa fans know full effing well how tough the Championship is, possibly more than you do, given that you have spent less time here because you're obviously a Portsmouth fan. We also know that John Terry is far from being guaranteed as a saviour of our club. Do you not think we know how old and slow he is? Do you not think we understand that in addition to experience, he brings with him a certain je ne sais quoi that has the power to split a dressing room and undermine a manager? Yes, we know all of those things and more. We have the unbridled prospective pleasure of seeing exactly what he can contribute to our team for a mere £50,000 per week. Mr. Moore, I put it to you that nobody is better placed than us to know about all of the dreadful and tragic and frustrating things that have happened at our club over the last several seasons. So please feel free to keep up an honest commentary about our club. Do not hesitate to point out to your listeners all the big and little ways that the always excellent Villa management are fucking up our heritage. That's why we listen. But please do not pretend for a second that you are telling us, the long-suffering fans, something we don't already fucking know.
Thank you
for your efforts on the programme. I very much enjoy listening and wish you all the team and everybody else the very best for your future endeavours.
What I will say to that is that they're away at Cardiff at the weekend, they're going to struggle.
I would say, are you a Geldie?
Oh, P.S. Most of us predicted the demise of Tim Sherwood long before you did, so don't act all smug about that one either.
I mean, all of us predicted the demise of Tim Sherwood immediately. Yeah. By all of us, I mean everyone bar Tim Sherwood in the speech.
We're here to talk about it.
We do appreciate this gentleman carrying on with his listenership with the Football Ramble.
Did the font get bigger and bigger as that email went on?
Yeah. Well, I'd hate to see a long message. That's a
I know.
One. Yeah.
My goodness.
What was his name?
His name's Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Jason.
Yeah. Imagine being called Jason.
Yeah,
terrible,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Jason, next time, don't talk about the Championship on the previous show. We tend to be talking about that. let's talk about Manchester City, a side who certainly know how to sign quality players. They're being tipped for the title this season, as they were by many last season, of course. But Pep has a Premier League season under his formidable belt, and they've spent big on a couple of signings from Monaco called Silva and Mendy. The goalkeeping situation has been spiced up with Edison. Carl Walker, mention him, of course. Danilo from Real Madrid. He loves a fullback, doesn't he? I expect one more fullback.
Rafa-esque.
Yeah. Well, I think the players they've signed so far are fantastic. Perhaps we underplayed that a bit on the show earlier in the week. I think Bernardo Silva's got potential to be the signing of the summer in the Premier League. I mean, do you remember? I don't know if you guys remember it. He was excellent against City in the Champions League in that game when he played off the right.
Did they know how much of a shot window that game was.
Well, quite exactly. I know, right? And he's got great feet. He looks quite strong as well, which obviously important for the Premier League. He's brilliant, pass of the ball, intelligent. He's potentially going to be the signing of the summer.
He's got everything.
I think Mendy's a fantastic left-sided player as well, very, very strong, and with actually quite good feet as well. They've strengthened really well. There's a bit of there was a bit of sort of chat about Edison perhaps not playing that well pre-season. I have to be honest, I haven't seen Man City pre-season.
But going back to Bernardo Silva, it's interesting because Pep Guardiola, as we all know from that great Barcelona side, you know, Busquets, Xavi and Iniesta, would Silva be the kind of the Busquets? Because if you look at the players he's got around him, you know, De Bruyne could have another good season again, you know, David Silva still.
I think De Bruyne needs like a bigger season than he had last year. I think this is the season that he might really kind of.
Yeah, true.
I think Silva will play further forward than that.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So
yeah.
Who would you fancy anchoring in that side? Because that big Yaya,
the old man,
he's still there.
Well, I think Pace might be a bit of a problem in the centre of it and work rate as well.
Yaya's turned his time around. I mean, he seems to be the man to go to, but he plays there now, doesn't he? Compared to the start of the season last season. But the areas they've strengthened, if you look at that, where they've strengthened compared to, say, where Chelsea have strengthened, which is basically just replacing players that are leaving. I mean, I know that 22 players have left City this summer. So there is. I mean, it's weird because a lot of clubs at the top seem to have had an overhaul, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they've strengthened really well. I do think though that given the season they had last season, when they struggled for fluidity and consistency of results, which meant they didn't win the Premier League and they didn't really come that close to winning it. Mm-hmm. They're favourites for the Premier League this season with Bet365, 9-5. So £10 then with them returns £28 including stake. What I will say is, never mind the anchoring of midfield, but I do take the point. They probably need another centre back, and they probably need.
They do.
Because if Kompany can't stay fit, well, they seem like a different side.
But there's an awful lot of competition in that midfield because Gundogan will be coming back.
People forget about Gundogan, don't they? Yeah, exactly.
It's like a new signing, Jim.
Yeah, quite. We've had that before.
I know. But the front line will be interesting. Aguero's still there. A few people thought he might leave. Jesus is coming back. Sterling will fancy having a crack.
I'm surprised they let Iheanacho go, but given the fitness track record of Aguero, and that Jesus got a big injury last season, and who knows if that will continue. I imagine the player would have agitated to move to play more because, what we've seen with him has been very impressive.
Wilfred Bonny is still there at the time.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So maybe there's something in that. But
he had a great time at Stoke
had a great time at Swansea. But he's had a bit of a clear out as Pep Guardiola, which is quite a Pep Guardiola thing to do. Just to name some of the biggest ones: Zabaleta, Clichy, Navas, Caballero, Sagna, Nolito, Kolarov, Fernando, Iheanacho, and of course Joe Hart.
There are a couple of old players there, though.
Colin Bell.
They've all gone.
Zabaleta was always going to move on. Navas was always going to move on. Caballero as well.
But it still happened, though.
Yeah, true. I said earlier, 22 players in total have left the Etihad one way or another.
Well, Yaya Touré's still there, because you would have thought he might be in that list of players, but clearly not. Maybe he will do as before the window shuts. Sami Nasri, he'll be probably off at some point, I'd imagine. Pep doesn't need him knocking around the place.
Nolito wearing as well. Like, he's ruthless, isn't he, Guardiola?
Yeah.
Mourinho does this as well.
But Guardiola, he is quite an intense character, and he doesn't like any confrontation. Ibrahimovic will certainly testify to that, and at Bayern Munich they said he could be a bit prickly and quite standoffish at times, and so someone like Sami Nasri, he doesn't want any kind of nonsense, but he does like to and we saw that with Joe Hart as well when he first got there. But he does like to just kind of clear. If you're not fitting in the system for tactical reasons, personal reasons, he will just go get rid of a load of players. And he's obviously signed a few, and they look they could do something.
They start at the Amex, don't they? They go to the Amex on Saturday evening.
They do. Lovely to have Brighton in the top flight.
Mm. Well, I was at Brighton for their last pre-season friendly of the summer against Atletico, who played a pretty strong team. And Atletico, I can't remember how much of this I mentioned earlier in the week, but forgive me.
But far away.
Atletico won 3-2, but it was a great atmosphere down there, and even though it was a friendly, and of course Atletico Madrid fans played their part because there was quite a few of them there, the atmosphere was fantastic, and there was a really positive vibe around the place. It's a nice new stadium. Mm-hmm. It's a real destination to go and watch a football game as well, and they're delighted to be in the Premier League, especially given the sort of circumstances and how they made it there. I think it was the third time I've asked and they came very close before that. They're delighted to be there, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's a tough place to go for Man City on the opening day, because Brighton will be cock-a-hoop. They really will.
Well, Chris Hughton's a canny operator, and hopefully he'll be treated with a bit more respect this time he's in the Premier League, Peter.
Yeah. Replaced by Pardew within 6 months. Drawing 4-4 at Arsenal soon after.
Yeah.
But he's a new pundit, isn't he? Got himself a big old gig.
Pardew, right.
I think it's sports.
It'll probably start very, very strongly, I expect.
Would you have not affected him?
By the end of it, he won't even be able to speak English.
By the end of it, he'll just be wetting himself crying into the mic. We've all done in this room, by the way.
Yeah, true enough.
He'll be quoting Byron on his first interview.
Sky Sports will have definitely played their part, though.
His first broadcast will be like Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Lovely old job. It's good to have Anthony Knockaert and Glenn Murray back for another swing in the big league.
I was surprised, because it's funny, because that gap between the second tier and the top flight is quite big, and if you look at Stockdale, just immediately moved to Birmingham. Mm. I don't know what the situation was there, but he clearly, that's happened more than once with Stockdale. I don't know if he thinks of himself as a Premier League keeper, or his successive managers don't. I thought Glenn Murray would move on, I have to be honest, but I'm delighted to see Anthony Knockaert in the Premier League, because what you want is, you want, in an ideal situation, that the standout player in the second tier, which was Knockaert last season, mm-hmm. plying his trade in the top flight mm-hmm. and seeing what he's like. I'm excited to see that.
Murray did okay, though, when he was playing, was it for Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
He did score a few
goals.
He's
very busy.
Yeah, I think he got a red card or two, but he's a decent player, and he has scored a few in the Premier League. He had terrible injury trouble, though.
Yeah. He didn't play in the friendly I saw, Anthony Knockaert came on. I didn't see an awful lot of him, so I don't know what sort of shape he's
in. But they've signed the Dutchman, Davy, I think it's Proper, is how you pronounce it, but we will be calling him Proper.
Davy Proper.
Proper
player. It was a club record fee, although they look set to break that record again, Brighton, by signing Club Brugge and Columbia winger Jose Izquierdo, who's a tricky player with an eye for goal. So he might be able to.
He sounds like he'll be the model of consistency.
That's like Carlos Kickerball shot.
I'll be honest, I've never seen him play. You can judge on that all you want. That's my judgment.
It's like watching Luke North and like seeing like a grainy videotape in the 90s. This is what he did in League Two.
A club record for you for a newly promoted side. And he scored a fair few goals in the Dutch league. What could go wrong?
Love it.
Okay.
Love a mercurial South American winger. Love me a Jefferson Montero type. Yeah. Here's another one.
Indeed. Yeah. Let's move on to Everton, another side who have spent a fair few quid in the transfer window. Many people will be watching them with intrigue to see what big Ron Koeman comes up with.
They've strengthened rotation, probably.
Well,
because they've got every player
just with the goalkeepers. Yeah. I mean, they've got three. They've got obviously Stekelenburg, Jordan Pickford, and spare a thought for Joel Robles.
You mentioned earlier that you don't know if Roberts will get a look at him. I mean, he and Stekelenburg played a similar amount of games last season, in fairness. I mean, they split it sort of 50-50 between them.
Well, it's going to have to be a third.
Yeah, well, Pickford's going to obviously come in and start, and one of them is going to miss out, clearly. But Stekelenburg played in the World Cup final.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he's got a lot of pedigree.
It's a while ago now.
But for a goalkeeper, I mean, he's not that old, is he?
Jimmy Traore apparently has won the Champions League. But they've also strengthened at the back with Michael Keane.
They have. And it's been a statement summer for Everton. I think the best way of putting it is it's been a statement summer.
I like that.
And they need 11 players
Bank
have come
statement.
In. Yeah, well, quite. Nay. 11 players have come in and 19 players have gone out. Koeman is going big or going home. No question about that. And look, let's be bold about it. It could go up in flames because he is going to be judged on how well he can blend that amount of players. And if Sigurdsson comes in as well, that's yet another one in what I would argue fits a similar profile to players they've already got. I understand Barkley may move on, probably will move on, but even so, they have to, with the money they've spent. I think Sigurdsson will tip them over 200 million. Mm-hmm. They've got to be going for top four. I don't care. This is a team who's made it to the top four before. In the Premier League. They've got to go top four. They're going to have to overhaul some decent quality sides to do it, but that has got to be their aim. I just don't see how a team who has finished whatever they finished last season, seventh,
I think so.
Around that sort of, let's say what it was, around that sort of position. If they don't improve on that after spending that amount of money, I think that's a failure.
That said as well, it's a rare thing that a team that brings that many players in at once do actually go on to sort of succeed straight away.
You have to manage a much bigger dressing room right at the start of things. I think they were expecting the two big players to leave and make a bit of money on that. But
and
Barkley will eventually probably move. But I don't know. It just seemed like you can only have 10 players and the goalkeeper on the pitch at any one time. So you're going to have to manage a lot of personalities there. People who hoped their Premier League move was going to be a bit more, I don't know, they would get more game time, stuff like that. So
I mean, they've got a solid midfield and they've added to the defence. Barkley, if he does go, which looks like he might well do, Davy Klaassen coming in is a potential replacement for him. Sigurdsson, well, Wayne Rooney, well, but that was the interesting thing with Lukaku going, there is a spot to be had up front. Now they've signed Sandro Ramirez, who could feature, big strong centre forward from Spain, and he was saying that he could adapt well to English football, and you'd think with just by looking at the guy and seeing him play for a little bit that he could well do. You've also got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, fresh from his under 20 World Cup winning final goal for England, big strong centre forward too. Obviously that's what Lukaku was as well. He's got more to his game than just the physical attributes, obviously. And then you've got Wayne Rooney. It will be fascinating to see how he deploys Rooney.
I think Rooney's really important for them, not just on the pitch. I mean, he's going to be vastly important in blending. blending this squad together and keeping them together. And I've been quite bold earlier, but the caveat I'll add is, of course, I know they've lost a lot of goals in Lukaku. Sandro Ramirez...
It's a gamble.
He's a lot more robust than perhaps people might think of a player who's come through at Barcelona and he's only about 5'10" or something like that. He's strong and he drops deep a lot and he can link in. And if he can get those loads of those attacking, the 400 attacking midfielders that Koeman has signed, who can run beyond him, then they might have a bit of a better time and they might have to share the goals around a bit. But they finished seventh last season and they have to improve on that. It's an abject failure if they don't improve on that. It has to be. Mm.
So he only cost 5.2 million, which is pretty amazing. 22 years old.
He got Sandro Ramirez.
Yeah, Ramirez. Yeah. Got pretty much 1 in 2 last season. So, I mean, his numbers are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But he's never played. I mean, it is a gamble, though. You take out Lukaku.
Oh, of course.
And you've not brought in a marquee signing.
But the thing is, they simply can't. They can't replace a player of Lukaku's quality, can they? They're just not a big enough side. So they're going to have to gamble to some degree.
Absolutely right, Jim. You have to drill down into that. Lukaku was going to move on. Okay. It's not feasible for Koeman and Everton, despite their new owners and despite their money, to go, right, we're replacing like for like. We're going to find a 25 goal a season striker in the Premier League just to do a direct replacement for Lukaku. They had to think outside the box and be a little bit more sort of creative with it, which is why I think Koeman's thought, I'm just going to pack my team full of creative players and hopefully create a lot of chances, and I'm going to have a solid back line, which to be fair I do think they've got. I think Pickford's a good goalkeeper. I think Keane's a good signing,
and also as well they've spent a lot of money. You do have to balance the books.
I mean nowadays it's not like, you know, 15 years ago where managers just go, like, you know, lick their finger and put it in the air, what do I want this team to do this season. They will have looked at chance creation and stuff like that.
Course,
they would have thought that's our biggest problem. It's not the finishing that's the issue.
In their favour, massively in their favour, and we cannot overlook this, they opened their campaign against Stoke, who have got a chance to be the worst team in the Premier League this season. And I genuinely mean that.
Maybe Saido will upset Everton, but I think just to finish on Everton, if I was the owners at Everton, I would say to Ronald Koeman, you've made an awful lot of signings here. We're looking at Champions League. Picture of David Moyes. He once got us into the Champions League
playoff.
Well, top four.
He once got us into the Champions League playoffs. Stoke, let's just do. I mean, you've got 10-1 on Everton breaking into that top four this season with Bet365, by the way. So £10 will return £110, including stake. But if I can just have a few lines on Stoke, Marcus, if you don't mind.
Please.
They've lost John Walters. He's a big player for them, just as a personality as well. They lost Arnautovic, who can be a little bit streaky, but again, it's proven that when he's on the song, he's good. They've signed Choupo-Moting from Germany. He never scored goals in great quantities. Never been prolific. They've got
now's his chance.
They've got Kurt Zouma on loan, who's not played an awful lot of football. I do accept that he's got quality.
Should be a good signing.
Not played a lot of football. I do think Stoke are going to struggle. They started off last season dreadfully, and I think Hughes can be a bit of a difficult character when it's not going I think they're going to struggle.
They can lean on Berahino for goals.
Well, he hasn't scored for them yet, has he? Which is amazing.
They lent on Bonnie.
But now it's time for our Bet of the Week with Bet365.
Yes, loads of listeners with a slightly longer memory than perhaps us in this room will remember that Liam Robertson, as I mentioned on Monday, is still in the hot seat because of his successful bet in the Champions League final last season. He's got back in touch and said, right, to celebrate mine and Pete's team back in the Premier League, I'm going for a straight up home win for the Toon Army, Pete.
What
a gamble.
Hopefully an own goal from Sissoko if the football gods are kind.
Play your way into the season, Liam. Yeah. What are you doing?
Good to hear your guys' lovely dulcet tones back again. So Newcastle to beat Spurs on Sunday is indeed 9-2 with Bet365. And via Liam Robertson, that's where our £50 will be going this week. A win for those Magpies will return £275, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, do go to gambleaware.co.uk.
What I would say is the last time Newcastle played a football match in the Premier League, we won 5-1 against Spurs at St James's Park. So, not brave enough to give us the score as well.
Now then, let's look ahead to the weekend with Luke Moore.
Well, with our listeners, really.
Yeah.
With our listeners.
With everyone.
If you do want to get in touch with looking ahead to the weekend, it is on our Facebook page, which is /footballramble, and we'll read them out from there. And of course, you can get in touch on emails with show@thefootballramble.com, which Pete takes care of. First up, Tom Byfield. I'm looking forward to having Newcastle back in the Premier League.
Yay.
Newcastle.
I think we all are.
Well, hang on, he said, I'm not a Newcastle fan. but you just know they're guaranteed at least 5 funny moments per season.
Well, it helps the ramble along, I think.
It does.
Last season felt like an ad break in a sitcom, not having them around.
That's lovely.
I agree with that. Liam Hawks, he says, as a Chelsea fan, I'm looking forward to the usual merry-go-round when September comes and we've lost a few games, Conte moans about the lack of signings and inevitably is sacked, and Gus Hiddink comes back to mind the thought. I checked and Gus Hiddink's not working at the moment, so yeah, it could happen.
I think he's on a retainer.
He probably is.
Maybe that's from Gus Hiddink.
Yeah.
Starting the merry-go-round.
An anagram of that is Gus Hiddink.
Yeah. I fancy Gus to come in, get maybe an FA Cup winner. Yeah, yeah, something yeah. Like that.
James Walker, I'm delighted to see the return of Sir Gary Megson at West Brom.
Oh, yeah.
To finally bring some attacking flair to Pulis's style. Return of the Megs. Return of the
what
Meg.
What is Megson adding to Tony Pulis's style?
Oi, wait and see, mate. Wait and see.
What a gumball.
Yeah.
He's utterly glorious.
Are you a fan of throw ins?
Let's
ones.
Have more of them.
And I'll finish with this one from Glenn Osco, who says, the title for Spurs. All we have to do is win our remaining games, and it's in our hands.
It's very true. And obviously, nice. Every home game will be like a cup final because they're at Wembley.
I literally couldn't include the amount of people predicting a Benitez departure and a replacement with Pardew. It was literally like 100 of them. So that's very much part of our listeners' mentality.
You forget the
well.
Kinnear stepping stone in between. Oh, yeah.
By the way, Pete, that's not predictions for the weekend. That's looking ahead. So everyone thinks that's going to happen.
That wasn't that Kinnear thing wasn't a stepping stone. That was like a stepping firework.
Yeah. With a little
stepping
with
bear
a little
trap.
Sort of
in a swamp.
A little sort of Dennis Wise kind of like section to the history as well.
Fairly ethereal role Dennis Wise would play at that
Nacho
point.
Nacho Gonzalez coming in. Oh, yeah, lovely.
Yeah. I always forget the Dennis Wise thing, and then you think, oh, he was there and he was there, and then you think, oh, we've got to go home.
One thing, thing we learned from that is that Dennis Wise should never and probably will never have a job involving him wearing a suit. It just doesn't fit.
No.
It doesn't fit, does it?
Just looks like a man at a court appearance.
He thinks he's going to court. Yeah, he does, yeah.
And you're probably right to assume that as well. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Pleasure to have the show back once again. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
It is binge drinking. I am trying to get drunk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.